Sky Daniels, happy to welcome the one and the only David Crosby.
Yeah, they made damn sure they didn't happen twice.
And you know what? You made sure of it yourself on many an occasion.
Yeah, I know. They broke the mold. I am here. Hello.
Well, I have to say, it began, I guess now, as we both know, time seems to fly a lot faster than it used to. But it was in 2014 when you released Cross, if I've got my years right. And then you turn around and release Lighthouse in 2016. And now, coming up in about 2 weeks, you're going to release Sky Trails. And David, without pandering to you, in all seriousness, what a prolific burst.
Yeah, what the heck's going on?
I mean, really, what caused this to happen?
Listen, you know, I'm standing here exactly the same as you, wondering what the heck. You know, I mean, certainly I court the muse. I want her to stop by the house and help me make songs. And certainly, you know, more is better. But I did not expect this. I think it has to do with a lot of stuff. I was feeling kind of unhappy towards the end of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Right. Challenging situation.
Well, you know, you start out and you're in love with each other and everything's wonderful and you love each other's songs and you're having a blast. 40 years later, when you don't even like each other, and God, definitely Graham Nash does not like me.
Right.
There's no forward motion. It's devolved down to turn on the smoke machine and play your hits. We could still do a better concert than most people,
absolutely,
but it wasn't any good for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose my love of music. And it was in danger there. So I did what I did. And I think that's part of why I've been writing so much. I think part of it is I lucked into some great writing partners.
Uh-huh.
Now, my son James, who produced this record, who is a fantastic musician. You know this story?
Come on.
Well, he was put up for adoption by his mom.
I did not know this story.
Oh, this is a great story. You're going to love this. He was put up for adoption by his mom, and I, all my life, was wondering where he was. Was he okay? Did he die in a snowstorm in a dumpster? Is it my fault? I tortured myself.
That, of course,
endlessly
the guilt,
tortured
yes.
myself, right? So then, here it is, a few years back, and I'm in the hospital dying in UCLA.
And a lot of thoughts go through the mind.
I'm not kidding. I am dying. And it's not long either. When they did finally transplant me, they felt that I was a week away from dying.
Wow. That's
close.
That certainly creates a...
So I'm there.
The mind races.
Yeah. So I'm there, and I get a letter that says, "Hi, we're John and Madeline Raymond, and we raised your son." And I finally find out where he is.
In the proverbial hour of...
And he reached out to me through a friend of mine, Mike Finnegan, who's...
keyboard player, great.
Fantastic. The best B3 player I know. Anyway, so he reached out to me, and we meet up. Now, normally those meetups go very badly because one or the other people brings too much baggage, you know.
A lot of questions.
He didn't do that. He gave me a chance. And that was one of the kindest things in the world that anybody's ever done for me. And we wound up being friends and being really good writers together. So that's one of the things is James, I've been writing with him a lot. He and I wrote at least four of the songs on this record together, I'm sure.
That has to be a blessing.
It's
though,
a huge
because
blessing.
Because you were carrying this guilt, and not only do you and then reunite, and then you find... The thing you love the most, he's sharing that. That had to be uplifting.
It's fantastic. Mm. Okay, so he's my really good writing partner. So then I meet...
And your pal.
Man, my pal. So then I meet Mike League. Now, Michael League is a very unusual human being. He is the composer for a band called Snarky Puppy.
Right.
They are a big, romping jazz band. And he's a very good writer, and he's the band leader, and he's a very great player. He's the bass player in that band also, but he plays everything well. And he produced Lighthouse.
Right.
I write with him. I wrote at least half of Lighthouse with him. Through him, I met Becca Stevens. She's the other voice that you hear on the title track on Sky Trails. She wrote Sky Trails with me. She wrote By the Light of Common Day on Lighthouse with me. She's another person I love writing with. And then there's a song on this record that I co-wrote with Michael McDonald. Mike lives near me. He's one of my heroes. I think he's one of the two best singers in the world, him and Stevie Wonder. I think it's pretty hard. I don't think anybody can beat either one of them.
He is one of the gods of neo-soul, isn't he?
He's so good. He sings so great and plays so great. So there, I've got this group of people, you know, that I can reach out to. This bass player girl that I found she's from Estonia. Out in the wilderness, this girl, and she has her own jazz band in Scandinavia named My Egan, and she's in this band, and I wrote one of the songs with her. I find people whose music I like, and then I try to write with them if I can, and that's worked out really well for me.
And that has to be not only is it finding musicians that you can respect and that you feel that, you know, there's a spark in terms of the creative process, but, you know, and not to belabor or certainly not to denigrate, things were for a while challenging at the very least in doing partnerships prior to this. So that has to be liberating unto itself, that it's all, as you were saying, it's all forward motion now.
Yeah, and it's good, and I love it. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm certainly not belittling the work I did with those guys. I loved the work that we did.
You really couldn't.
We made a bunch of great music.
Beyond.
All of those records. Yeah. We made really good records, and I'm proud of them. We did a lot of great work. You know, never say never.
Never say never, because the one thing I know that you know as an artist, and I'm sure... anyone who's been on the brink, as you were when you were in that bed in at UCLA, you know, you realize that it's rare that as humans and as creatures we can make something great, and that to totally dissociate that, you know, ability to create greatness.
I don't want to do that.
Exactly.
I think it would be disrespectful. Those guys did really good work.
Yeah.
And I recognize that. And we may not get along, but that doesn't denigrate their art at all. They all three have made really good art. And Neil just made a really good record.
Absolutely.
Those are the songs that I wanted to work with him because of. You know, I listened to those songs and I said, okay, that guy's so good. I want to make music with him.
The you know, something is happening, and we're going to talk about... the here, the now, and in a week or two, the new album that's going to be available. It's available now via pre-order. I always make sure that I don't know, David. I'm a Luddite. I want people to actually buy music. I'm just that kind of guy.
I do too, man. It's really hard now. You know, streaming has pretty much killed the record business.
And yet. When you find great records, and certainly there's a generation of record buyers that like to go into record stores,
yes.
And we're fortunate that a number of our listeners
one of them.
Are count amongst that. Yeah.
You know, I like it. I like vinyl. I like CDs. I like physical objects, and I like high-quality sound. I'm okay with a download if it's a high-res download. I'm not okay with the streamers taking our music and making billions, literally with a B, of dollars with it, and not paying us. They're not paying us.
It's
they don't pay us doodly.
It's unfortunate that it also
I had an email, man,
creates
from,
a devaluation in the mindset of everybody. Like, well, yeah. Music's free.
But it's not. See, if we don't make any money, we can't even. I don't have the money to go in the studio.
And we certainly.
I don't have the money to pay musicians.
to get to the next town. It costs gas.
I can't. I'm talking about records.
Right.
They screwed us, man. And it's not okay. It's not okay in any term, any way. You know, will you get exposure? I don't need exposure. I've been doing this 60 years.
Yeah.
I don't need any exposure. Well, I need you to pay me for the music that you're making billions of dollars off and stealing from me. I got an email from Roger McGuinn not long ago. He said that it was some huge number, like 190,000 plays or something of 8 Miles High, and we got $12. Would you be okay with being paid like
no.
that?
No. The other
that,
side of
that
it,
that
I
means
always
for a day's work, you'd get a nickel.
Do we, you know,
would you be okay with getting a nickel for a day's work?
Do we get to go on a car lot and just decide, I like that car, I'm driving it off now? No. If there is a car lot where they don't mind me coming up and just driving off, well then...
Could you feed your family on a nickel?
No. And let's face it.
I got a family.
Think about, as I'm sure you do, the artists that are just starting out. And
it's
trying to
terrible for them,
way.
Man. They're still at the stage where they're driving 200 miles in a van that they're renting to play to another 38 people and make enough money to buy gas to the next town and a meal. They're not making any money. They're barely making it from day to day. It's not okay. It's killing the music business. They're screwing us really badly. The streamers are thieves.
Well, that certainly, I'm sure, will end up being a bullet point in some headline somewhere.
I hope so. I hope they put it in bold print.
you've never shied away from letting your voice be known.
I don't think there's any reason I should, man. I sometimes I overdo it. You know, I criticize people like Kanye West or something because he's just a poser. He just pisses me off. But. I think the criticism of the streaming thing is valid, totally valid. I don't mind them doing it. I just mind them not paying us.
Well, let's talk about, you mentioned Roger, and as an aside, there must be something in the collective water, because recently you also got together with Roger and Chris Hillman and worked on an old bird song and Tom Petty's Behind the Board, which, if you think about it, I would assume that
appropriate.
If you were going to get, you know,
hey, Tom
three
knows
seminal
our music.
Members of the Birds together, that guy kind of knows what
Tom does kind of know our music really well. And it was definitely fun. You know, I'm friends with both those guys. I like them both. We even get along pretty well. You know, we didn't back then, but that's back then. We get along fine. And I like them both, and I would sing on something of theirs always. I would always want to make music with them. I still would do bird stuff with them if they wanted to. And Roger doesn't, but I know that Chris and I would do it with him if he did.
So basically what I'm hearing here is, being the ambitious sort that I am and having the beautiful $125 million orchestra, you know, Performing Arts Center across the hall, I'm going to have to convince Roger into coming back to the place where it all began and getting the gang together. So I'll work on that for you.
Your mission, should you decide to accept.
And you know what? You're looking at me and you're thinking, this guy's already getting ready to make phone calls.
Go for it, baby.
I will, because, first of all...
You know, I've asked him...
The joy. You've seen the video that Chris put out as a teaser, and you're in the studio with Tom and Chris and Roger... Just seeing the smiles on everyone's face and hearing the music, it's great.
It's fine.
It's great.
I have not seen it.
I'm telling you, we'll look at it at the end of this.
It gets you that vibe.
And you, I think, are going to
appreciate it. If he ever wants to do it, I'm there in a second. Well, I love doing it. I'm in two really good bands right now, and I also work by myself solo, which is like a third of its talk. But I have these two bands, the Lighthouse Band,
right,
with Michael and Becca and Michelle. That's an acoustic band, and it's really good. I freaking love it. And then there's the Electric Band, the Sky Trails Band, with my son James and Jeff Pivar and this girl Mai and Michelle Willis again, because she's such an unbelievably good singer. If I form any more bands, I'm going to ask Michelle for those ones too. She's really good and a really good keyboard player.
Well, and you, and obviously through the years, you've been able to work with and attract, you know, Greg on guitar on the last record. You get Mark Knopfler to stop by. I mean, that must be, I'm going to assume that you recognize what a blessing it is that you're standing in this music life, that these people
I'm so lucky
would love to want to work with you. Yeah.
I'm so lucky. It was, yeah, Knopfler did a very kind thing there. And so did Wynton Marsalis. Wynton played a beautiful solo on that record. I'm lucky, man. I've gotten to work with a bunch of wonderful people, and I'm hoping, you know, that I get to work with more. I'm already working on the next record, and I love it. I'm bitter about them making it so that we don't get to sell any, but this is my life's work, and it's what I'm going to leave behind. And I'm close enough to the end of my life that to where it matters to me a great deal what I leave behind. So I'm trying to make them be the best leave behinds I can possibly make, you know.
And you are succeeding, and I you know, I said that at the beginning. I remember when Cross first came out, that I reached out to Elliot, you know, and Elliot Roberts, and I simply said, "Wow, are you hearing this?" And at the point in time, Cree and Buddha, and I'm thinking, this is. Where did this come from? Because honestly, it had been, what, 20 years?
Yes.
I think since you'd done a solo record?
Yes.
Now, I must interject on a personal basis. A moment that I think I still watch it, you know, every so often just to see if, in fact, my eyes saw what it said. There was a tribute to Brian Wilson. I don't know now, maybe it's 10 years. The time flying like it is. And you sang along with Vince Gill and Van Dyke's Park on Surf's Up.
I think it was Vince Gill and what's her name? You're So Vain.
Carly Simon.
Carly Simon. Vince and Carly and I did that.
And I got to be honest with you, my wife and I, we could not believe. So I went out and bought the DVD when it came out just to see, did we really hear what we thought? That was otherworldly.
That's how good Vince Gill is.
Wow. And now, of course.
That's why they asked him to join the Eagles.
Right.
He ain't messing around. And he can play lead guitar at the same time.
And it speaks to the fact that the experience you've had as a musician, it goes back to the beginning. Obviously, you had a talent, and as legend has it, you had a drive, you know.
Yeah, sure.
In the early days, you were going to make it, because you have to have that mindset as an artist.
I wanted to make it, and back then it mattered to me to try and be, you know, successful. After a while, you realize it's really more about access to the tools than anything else. You know, being able to buy a new car, okay, cars are nice. Not as nice as songs.
Hmm.
You know, I didn't do this for the money. I did it because it makes me happy. Music makes me really, really happy. And I need to be happy. I need to keep my head above water. I've been through a lot. And I've had time to boil it down to what actually matters to me. And it's my family and making this music and being happy with it.
The gratitude that you're expressing with your eyes and with your words, if the people could see it, this is a... When we were asked, you know, particularly on this day when we've expanded our signal by an 8 million coverage area, when we were asked, you know, would we love to have you in, I could only hope and dream for this kind of conversation, because it's the essence of what we're, you know, doing this radio station for, sharing that love of music and respecting the legends who continue to create great new music like you've done.
I don't know about the legends, because we're a bunch of bozos too.
Well,
at the same time. But I will say this about the music. Just as war is a downward force on the human race, just as it drags us down and brings out the very worst in human beings, So music is a lifting force. Completely a countervailing force. It lifts humanity. It makes things better. And there's not many things to do. And music does. It connects people. It's a fantastic tool for dispensing ideas, moving ideas around, sharing ideas. It's a lifting force. It's a general lifting force on humanity.
And the record that you've made, let's get into the, when you're putting together Sky Trails, and you have collected these musicians, and you are having the joy of writing with your son and these other people and continuing to, as you said in the beginning, that muse, it seems to be, you know, connecting with me. I imagine that as much as you're expressing how much it means to you and how important, you know, you recognize it to be, when you're nailing these songs as they're coming along, whew, you know, getting home at night, you must...
I feel good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Very few of us get to have that feeling.
You know, David, I'd have to interject on that. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to hazard a guess that there was a certain, at least a couple of moments in life where there was some voice in you saying perhaps that wasn't the case.
Yes. Oh, yeah, a couple of times, you think, maybe.
Once or twice, I don't know.
Let me see, as this cell door clangs closed and I'm in Texas in prison, do I really think my shit's really working here?
Yeah.
Do I really think I'm real smart right now?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a question.
This epiphanies come up now and again.
Possibly this wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like one at the time.
You know what? You make a lot of mistakes in life, yeah. And I was no smarter than anybody else, and I made a ton. And the defining quality is what you do with that.
Yeah.
Do you learn from it or not? And it took a lot of time before I did. It took a lot of bashing my head against stuff. I tried to get sober, probably 5 times before they put me in prison. It took putting me in prison to get me sober. And, you know, it's monumental. But, I mean, coke and heroin, which is what I was addicted to, that's a prison you carry around with you.
Yeah, you don't need bars for that prison.
I'm real glad I went to prison because it freed me from those things, and I'm still free from those things, and I like it.
Well, God bless. I mean, that's, you know, now we're talking about, you know, as truthful and pure humanity as it is, it's the essence, and you are right. The music you're making now, you know, the new music that you've created on Sky Trails, you know, I don't pander to you when I tell you, I listen to it and I'm inspired because, first of all, I know it'll shock you, David, but I'm no spring chicken either. And I realize, you know what? Creating greatness time and time and time and time again. It's real easy. Let's see you after 50 years out there if you can still swing the bat. And you're swinging the bat as well as ever.
I thank you, man. I have no way to explain it. All I can do is be grateful. I am doing good work. I know it is. My best friends who don't lie to me about the music ever tell me that they think it's as good as I think it is. And so I am sort of validified that way. I feel it's good. I feel I'm blessed beyond belief that I get to do it at this point in my life. I was supposed to be dead 20 years ago. They saved my life. And then recently they saved it again. You know, I'm just kind of amazed that I'm here at all. But if I'm here, if I get to be here today, I am going to work at this today and tomorrow if I get tomorrow. Every day that I have here now is precious. I'm at the end of my life. You have to understand that. I'm 76 years old. I'm not going to last another 10 years. I'm working hard to use every day that I do have the most positive I possibly can. And if they've got the gift to make music, then that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, you have succeeded You've brought us a great new album, Sky Trails. It'll be out on 929. You came here on a day when you know it's monumental for us to be able to expand our coverage area by 8
million.
That's
really terrific, man. I know. It's terrific. I'm really happy for you because you guys carry a lot of the stuff that I listen to. I really like, you know, public radio. That's my deal.
And having you here, it was fitting because, you know, as we launch to a new, you know, expanded coverage area, letting people hear the words, let alone the music that we're playing from the new album, it's inspiring to us, and it's shared by us. So you can count on both 88.5 and our listeners to recognize that one day at a time, you're doing the very best you can.
I'm surviving.
And what a treat. I mean, I can tell you it's a joy to hear the words and to hear the music. And
thank you, man.
I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's fun.
It's the... I'll say it again. He may be self-effacing, but we're looking and talking to a true legend.
Oh, don't start with that.
David Crosby on 88.5 FM.
Thanks, man.